characteristics according to the estimations of learned scholars. So what do you remember from Bhrija Prabhu's class yesterday? Everybody was sleeping. No.
Seven islands.
Personalities offer prayers. Certain personalities. Yes. Demigods presiding over different elements. Fire, water, air. Right. Okay, yes. They worship through the Varnashram system, the inhabitants of the different islands. Somebody over here, was it Prashanta? Did you have your hand up?
Yeah,
Jambudvip. Lord Vishnu in various forms in Jambudvip.
Yeah.
Right.
Parts of the Lord
in the dwips. So they acknowledge that the demigods are different representatives of the Lord. Okay, anything else from Bhrija Prabhu's class yesterday? Yes. What? The people in China. Achcha. One bath when they're born and one bath when they get married. What dweep is this?
Okay.
Oh, no sewage problem. Okay, well, India should look into this. All right, so here we have the unique features of the different islands. Plakshadweep, a fire with seven flames at the root. In Shamali, Garuda lives in the Shamali tree. In Kushadweep, there is a form of fire. Kushagrass is like the form of fire. Kraunchadweep, there is a mountain Krauncha, which was attacked by Kartikeya. And Shakadweep, the Shaka tree bathes Shakadweep in fragrance. And Pushkaradweep is the lotus seat of Brahma with 100 million petals. And today we're going to find out something else about Pushkaradweep. Does anybody know what else is significant about Pushkaradweep? Yeah, that we already said. Yes. It's a big mountain. What's the name of the mountain? Manasottara. Manasottara Mountain.
All the other islands are divided into
seven. Right. This one is divided into two, and all the rest are divided into seven. So we can have a look over here. We have a representation of the universe from top to bottom. At the bottom we have Shesha, and then there's two planets hanging down. Just above Shesha, which are the hellish planets, red, and Pitriloka, which is blackish. Then we have the seven lower planets, which you'll be hearing about this afternoon. And the big lotus in the middle, that's Bhumandala. Bhumandala is in the middle, of the almost middle of the universe. And there's Meru is the middle of that lotus. Yellow part coming up is Mount Meru. And then above that, so these are all the different chakras of the body. Bhu is representing Muladhara chakra, the bottom chakra, and then the next little circle you see there, that's the next chakra, that's Bhuvarloka. Then Swarga is the next with like a flame, and the sun is there in between. There's a sun, and then there's Juvaloka, white, and then we have Maharloka with a lotus, because in the heart it's like a lotus. The next chakra is Janaloka, and then Tapaloka, and then Lord Brahma is at the top. So in Swargaloka, you'll see all the planets are there. They're around Swargaloka. Yes, the sun should be a little lower, actually. Yeah, should be between Bhu and Bhuvar. It is supposed to be an antariksha in outer space. So the sun is a little too high there, but we couldn't do it any better. We couldn't fit them in because Rahu is there between the sun and the moon. Oops, the moon went on the wrong other side somehow just now. But it was on that side, and it's between the sun and the moon, Rahu. Yes, and you see all the planets. Then there's one with little dots. That's the stars, 28 stars. And with Bhuvarloka, there's the siddhas and charnas on one side, and then the rakshasas and yakshasas are on the other side, kind of like wings on Bhuvarloka there. And the siddha should be higher also, kind of. Yes? Yeah, it's a different siddha loka. It's a different, yeah. Yes.
When we look at this type, how far do we see?
We see up to we can't see beyond Jivaloka. We see the seven sages. We see seven sages should be below Jivaloka, actually. But we cannot see Maharjana Tapa. They are beyond our perception, as far as I understand. They're subtle. Yes. Which one? Yeah, well, I made it into the Big Dipper because that's what the Western scientists recognize it as, the Dipper in the sky. Call it the Dipper. So I put it in that same. It should be actually below Jivaloka. It should be below Jivaloka. The seven sages. Yeah, the Dipper. It's the Dipper. Seven sages. It should be below Jivaloka, but above Swargaloka. And so it's kind of a rough estimate of the universe. Yes.
Yeah,
the distances are also quite double.
Yeah, actually
yes,
much
more.
In real dimension.
Yeah, if it was in real dimension, it would be, you know, up somewhere, maybe 100 stories or
yes,
way up there.
Very, very
but
up.
we can't quite
and
do that.
Down,
yeah, yeah. So the dimensions we could not represent. Just like when you show the seven oceans, if you put them all together, you can't really represent the dimensions. Oh, Vanamali is back. Welcome. Just in time.
Can you say that the petals of lotus on Bhumandala represent Lokalika Mandala?
The petals of the lotus of Bhumandala. They represent different things. They represent different things. The outer, perhaps the outer. There are outer petals, inner petals.
The outer petals.
Lokaloka, but it extends beyond Lokaloka Mountain, Bhumandala, doesn't it? Doesn't it go? There's an uninhabited region and something else. Lokaloka is just like in the middle, like halfway between the edge of the universe. So, can't say it's the outer petals. Because Bhumandala extends much beyond Lokaloka Mountain. There's uninhabited region and inhabited region and so many things. Yeah, there's an inner circle of petals, inner petals, outer petals. So lotus has many, many petals, so it can be inner. I was just thinking, it's too bad that boy didn't come, I forgot his name. Anyway, Dhanivar Maharaj's disciple. He was talking about the lotus, he's not here, the lotus petal shape of Jambudvip. So I was thinking about that yesterday. And I came to an understanding if you consider the universe as a whole, actually it's all included within the lotus of Lord Brahma. So in that sense, you can say Jambudvip is one of the petals of the lotus of Lord Brahma. But in another sense, it's a whole lotus all by itself. If you just take it as Bhumandala, then it's its own lotus also. So there's different, depends on how you look at the universe, which perspective you're looking at it, as a whole or as a part. So if you look at the part, you'll see that, oh, that's also a lotus.
So everything is comprised within the lotus?
Yeah, in one sense, it's all in Brahma's lotus. Now in another sense, you can see divisions here. You go inside and explore his lotus, then you'll find varieties. Within the stem, within the lotus. It is said different things. Sometimes it's said it's within the stem. Sometimes it's said it's within the lotus, the whole lotus of Brahma. And so there are many different perspectives. So today we're just going to hear what Bhagavatam says. Yes? Manasotra Mountain. Yeah, we don't see it here because we're just seeing far away as a lotus.
Higher than Mount Meru.
I don't know the exact dimensions. How high is Mount Meru? It's about
80,000
miles. And how high is Manasotra?
About the same.
About the same. They're about the same.
And basically, it's like you have a box, a round box.
They're about the same size. Okay.
All the lower planets, they don't get sun.
They don't get sun.
We know for sure. But also similarly, the sun doesn't go up, up, up to the
Earth. Yeah. They have their own self-effulgence in the higher planets. Okay.
Svartaloka actually, dimension scene is very tiny.
It's very small. It's just, you know, just where those planets are. That's Swarga. I kind of extended it because I couldn't fit the planets otherwise. So Swarga, yes, it's just one of those things. Yeah. The sun illuminates up through Swarga, and then that's it. Up to Dhruvaloka. Up to Dhruvaloka. Dhruva is a little bit above Swarga, and so it illuminates up to Dhruvaloka. And then beyond that, it doesn't.
So
doesn't.
In other words, we see up to where the sun is.
Yes, that's what we can see. We can see where is the sun is illuminating.
Dhruvaloka is North Pole.
Yes, North Pole. No, pole, not North Pole. The
Polestar.
What do they call it? Pole star.
Pole star.
I don't know. Could be. Next kalpa, you might get another dhruva. Acha. Okay, but the person remains the same who's in charge. The apartment may change, but the person stays. Dhruva will stay there. Doesn't matter if his house has changed. Okay, so we're now in verse 2. We're about the sun. We're talking about the sun, which is in Antariksha. As a grain of wheat is divided into two parts, one can estimate the size of the upper part by knowing that of the lower. So expert geographers instruct, one can understand the measurements of the upper part of the universe by knowing those of the lower part. The sky between the earthly sphere and heavenly sphere is called Antariksha, or outer space. It adjoins the top of the sphere of earth and the bottom of that of heaven. So in Antariksha, that's where the sun is. So we were hearing a lot about geography of the universe, and then we heard a little bit about history of the universe, and today we're going to hear a different dimension. We're going to go into outer space, and we'll hear about the sun's journey, where he goes, how fast he goes, who he meets in his journey. So verse 3, in the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha is the most opulent sun, king of all planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing through the north, toward the south, or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately. According to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac, headed by Makra, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long, or equal to one another. So Prabhupada in purport says, Lord Brahma prays, Yatshakshade shasavitas kalagrahanangra jasamasta siramurti sheshtecha yasya yakamati samvita kala chakra govinda majipurusham bhavaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, most powerful, although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda, Krishna. The sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designated to him. Therefore, in every sphere of life, the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried out. So this is the glorification of the sun who we're hearing about today. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is being controlled by the Lord. Yes?
It says in 3, the king of all the planets that
emanate light, heat, such as the moon. Yeah, that hit me too. Actually, we think of the moon as being cool. So yeah, I can't explain that. That seems like a contradiction to me. Reflects the sun. It's the Kusha grass. Cool flames. A contradiction. Cold flames. Yes, cool flames. Cool flames. Not hot flames. Usually flames are hot, but the moon's flames are cool. You make a t-shirt, cool flames. Verse 4. When the sun passes through Mesha, Aries, and Tula, Libra, the durations of day and night are equal. When it passes through the five signs headed by Rishabh, Taurus, the duration of the day increases until Cancer. and then it gradually decreases by half an hour each month until day and night again become equal in Libra. So we're going to have to understand that there's two movements of the sun. The sun is, I mean, there's the wheel of time, and this the wheel of time has all these different signs, Libra, Cancer, and the sun is moving differently. It's going different from the wheel of time. It's moving through the signs. So the wheel is just measuring. Wheel of time is all these signs are measuring where the sun is going. And we'll see the same thing for the moon. There's measurements. The 28 stars are measurements where they are going through these different signs. And these stars, they're also fixed on the wheel of time. We'll read that. I think in the next chapter. When the sun passes through the five signs, beginning with Vrishchika, Scorpio, the duration of the days decreases until Capricorn, then gradually increases month after month until day and night become equal in Aries. Verse 6, until the sun travels to the south, the days grow longer. Until it travels to the north, the nights grow longer. Shukadeva. So this is beginning astrology here. If anyone wants to become an astrologer, learn the basics. Verse 7. So Vastu, astrology, all of these, their roots are in Bhagavatam. Roots are in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, as stated before, the learned say the sun travels over all sides of Manasotara Mountain in a circle whose length is 95,100,000 yojanas. I won't get into the miles. On Manasotara Mountain, due east of Mount Sumeru, is a place known as Devatani, possessed by King Indra. Similarly, in the south is a place known as Samyamani, possessed by Yamaraj. In the west is a place known as Nimlochani, possessed by Varuna. In the north is a place named Vibhavari, possessed by the moon god. Sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight occur in all those places according to specific times, thus engaging all living entities in their various occupational duties and also making them cease such duties. You can turn the flip chart. Remember when we were studying the 16th chapter, we heard about how there's eight demigods in the eight directions. Oh, I don't know where it went. Okay, never mind. Just leave it. I don't think it's there. I think we forgot to put it in. Okay, never mind. Anyway, we were studying about the eight demigods in the eight directions on top of Mount Meru. So now here we have four of those demigods in four directions on top of Manasotara Mountain. And all of them correspond except the moon god, which on top of Mount Meru, instead of the moon god, we have Kuvera at the north. All the other four, Indra in the east, Yamaraj in the south, Varuna in the west, they correspond to the same places where the demigods are seated on Mount Meru. So we already discussed all about Vastu and how its relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam, so we won't get into that here because we already had that discussion. Verses 8 to 9, the living entities residing on Sumeru Mountain are always very warm, as at midday, because for them the sun is always overhead. Although the sun moves counterclockwise, facing the constellations with Sumeru Mountain on its left, it also moves clockwise and appears to have the mountain on its right because it is influenced by the Dakshinavarta wind. People living in countries at points diametrically opposite to where the sun is first seen rising will see the sun setting. And if a straight line were drawn from a point where the sun is at midday, the people in countries at the opposite end of the line would be experiencing midnight. Similarly, if people residing where the sun is setting were to go to countries diametrically opposite, they would not see the sun in the same condition. So this verse is used by Sariputta to prove that the earth is a sphere. It is round. He uses this verse particularly to prove Sariputta. He uses this verse to as reference to prove that the earth is a sphere. Because if it wasn't a sphere, this wouldn't be true. So that's what he says there. Verse 10, when the sun travels from Devatani, the residence of Indra, to Samyamani, residence of Yamaraj, it travels 23,775,000 yojanas in 15 katikas, 6 hours. From the residence of Yamaraj, the sun travels to Nimlochani, the residence of Varuna, from there to Vibhavari, the residence of the moon god, and from there again to the residence of Indra. In a similar way, the moon, along with the other stars and planets, becomes visible in the celestial sphere and then sets and again becomes invisible. So some of these names, Vibhavari is a very familiar name for us. Vibhavari Shesha. That means the night is finished. He has already gone to the moon god. It's finished, midnight. So it's over. Verse 12. There's a chariot of the sun god, which is Chaimaya, or worshipped by the words Ombu Bhuvaswa, travels through the four residences mentioned above at a speed of 3,400,800 yojanas in a muhurta. So that was verse 12. So I have something here from third canto, which explains how the sun affects all living entities. We studied in third canto a little bit about the sun. It was included in the chapter on time. Third canto, 11th chapter, a certain verse, verse 15. So does anybody remember those three things that the sun does for all living entities when it goes around? One of the three? Yeah. Light, yes. Enlivens all living entities with unlimited heat and light. And yes, he diminishes duration of life in order to release them from their illusion of material attachment. And the third thing that the sun does, he enlarges the path of elevation to heavenly kingdom. Three things that the sun does while he's going around there. So Prabhupada quoted Gayatri Mantra, and the word Bhur refers to Bhumandala. Bhuvar, Swar, we have all of these different mandalas or lokas. And Savitur is the sun. So verse... Okay. We're going fast today. Yes. Right. Goes around Manasatra Mountain. As a lotus. A large disc, yeah. Yes. Well, it's different from the wheel of time. It's different from the wheel of time.
But here it seems like the sun is moving
different ways. It seems like the sun is moving different ways, but perhaps the whole thing is moving different ways. Yeah. The whole Bhumandala. It's like... We saw that in Sataputas. You have another one, Acha.
Because the whole Bhumandala is also moving.
The whole Bhumandala, yeah, everything is moving. Everything is moving. So it's a, well, see, the catch is here. I read a few verses ago this particular catch here. He's on Manasotara Mountain, but he's not on a very narrow track, it seems to me, that he's moving on all sides of Manasotara Mountain. So, whatever that means, it may not mean like it's a fixed, like this. It may be changing, maybe going one way, another way.
Do you know something about Devadani?
Devadani is the place of Indra.
Where is that?
That is on Manasotara Mountain.
On Manasotara Mountain?
Yeah, these four places are on, he makes stops.
All right.
He makes four stops.
Right.
Four stops when he's on Manasotara Mountain. And Devadani is one of the four stops. That's it. At sunrise. Sunrise, he goes to Indra's place, and at noon, he goes to Yamaraj, and at sunset, he goes to Varuna's place, and at midnight, he stops at the moon. Yeah. Yeah, so he has four stops on Manasotara Mountain as he goes around, and that's where he stops. Devadani is on Manasotara. So that's why I explain that these stops are in Manasotara. But previously we heard of the demigods on top of Mount Meru, so that's different. What we heard in chapter 16 is on top of Mount Meru, and now what we're hearing is on top of Manasotara Mountain. It's different places of the demigods. They have many places. Indra's also in Swargaloka, or maybe all three at the same time. The summer, spring, different... Anyway, or he may be all places at the same time, Indra. He's not like us. We have to... keep our same body and move from place to place. But these demigods, they can do different things. They're yogis, maha-yogis. So verse 13, chariot of the sun god has only one wheel, which is known as Samvatsara. The 12 months are calculated to be its 12 spokes. The 6 seasons are the sections of its rim. And the 3 Chaturmasya periods are its 3-sectioned hub. On one side of the axle carrying the wheel rests upon the summit of Mount Sumeru. The other rests upon Manasotra Mountain. Affixed to the outer end of the axle, the wheel continuously rotates on Manasotra Mountain like the wheel of an oil pressing machine. So then I got another quote here from 3rd Canto, 21st chapter, verse 18. See, in our first quote we have here, one wheel is Samvatsara, 12 months, 12 spokes, 6 seasons, sections of the rim. Chaturmasya periods are the 3-section hub. Now in the 3rd Canto we have, the wheel has 3 naves, the axis is the imperishable Brahman. There are 13 spokes, 360 joints, 6 rims, and numberless leaves carved upon it. So those leaves are the minutes and the seconds, the time, small periods of time. 360 joints, the year, 13 spokes, the month. So it's a little bit different descriptions of the chariot of the sun god. Yeah, 6 seasons.
Some parts are 4 seasons.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're influenced by Kali Yuga. Actually, it's 6 seasons. In India, we have 6 generally. You have 6 seasons, yes.
When sun is rotating around, we have day and night, so it takes 24 hours.
Day and night.
But for higher planets, we know that for someone goes to demigod,
yes,
there like 1 minute, it will take many years.
Right.
So, do they see sun also rotating slow? So they also have day and night slowly, like raising the sun. And
yeah. It's different. Well, yeah, for them it's different. When the sun goes, half of 6 months of ours will be 1 day for them. They see this is 1 day. When the sun goes on the northern side, they see this is day. And when the sun goes on the southern side, they see this is night for the demigods. So it's just a different perspective. They see it differently from where they are. So when the sun goes in Uttarayana, they see it's daytime. When the sun goes Dakshinayana, they see this is nighttime. And then the moon also has, we'll read today that the moon also has some effect on day and night of the demigods. When the moon is waning, waxing, then it's a day. When it's waning, it's night for the pitas and demigods. So verses 14 and 15. As in an oil pressing machine, first axle is attached to a second axle, which is 1/4 as long. The upper end of the second axle is attached to Dhruvaloka by rope of wind. My dear king, the carriage of the sun god's chariot estimated to be 3,600,000 yojanas long and 1/4 as wide, 900,000 yojanas. The chariot's horses, named after Gayatri and other Vedic meters, are harnessed by Arunadev to a yoke that is also 900,000 yojanas wide. This chariot continuously carries the sun god. 15. So the names of the horses Prabhupada gives from Vishnu Purana. Gayatri cha brihat yushne jagati tishtupe vacha anushtupanti tuktas chandangsi harayorave. 7 horses yoked to the sun god's chariot are Gayatri, Brihati, Ushnik, Jagati, Trishtup, Anushtup, and Pankti. These names of various Vedic meters designate the 7 horses that carry the sun god's chariot. So it's quite a drama if you're actually there with the sun god. What's going on? You have all these horses that are all the different meters. And then you've got all these other people traveling along. We'll hear about them in the next few verses. So Aruna is the son of Vinata. And he's a brother of Garuda. But he didn't come out properly. He didn't have legs as far as I know, or his legs weren't there. He was not completely formed. But anyway, he got a good job. He got to be the chariot driver of the sun. So if you ever see, when you see sunrise and you look in the sky, you see before the sunrise there is pink, and that's Aruna. You're seeing Arunadev first before the sun. He comes. If you see this pinkish, the clouds become pink, and that's the color of Aruna. Aruna is coming. Pink sky. So verse 17 and 18, there are 60,000 saintly persons named Valakilyas, each the size of a thumb, who are located in front of the sun god, who offer him eloquent prayers of glorification. 18. Oh, did I read? Yes, I did. Oh, I didn't read 16, did I? Oh, let me read 16. Although Arunadev sits in front of the sun god, is engaged in driving the chariot and controlling the horses, he looks backward toward the sun god. So I already explained about Arunadev without reading his verse. There are 60,000 saintly persons named Valakiryas, each the size of a thumb, who are located in front of the sun god, who offer him eloquent prayers of glorification. Similarly, 14 other saints, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and demigods, who are divided into groups of two, assume different names every month and continuously perform different ritualistic ceremonies to worship the Supreme Lord as the most powerful demigod, Suryadev, who holds many names. So what do the Gandharvas do for the chariot, for the sun god? Sing. The Apsaras? Nagas? What do the Nagas do? Actually, it doesn't say here. What do?
Illuminate.
I think they're the rains, perhaps, the Nagas. Generally, that's their kind of work that they do. They, you know, like for the churning of the ocean. But we'll read it. Actually, in 8th canto, it's quite clear what they do. Or here it says, Panagas, is that the Nagas in the purport? Decorate the chariot? That could be. Panagas. Yakshas. They guard. And the Rakshasas?
They eat.
They eat. Okay. Yes, anyway, it's hard to tell. Here it says the Nishacharas follow. Panagas decorate. And the demigods. Okay. Yakshas guard. So we'll hear about, actually we'll hear this in 8th canto. More about these groups of people and even their names. Their names change every month or so. Every month they change. Yeah, one of them yokes the chariot. Okay. The seven groups of 14 associates arrange the proper times for regular snow, heat, and rain throughout the universe. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what the Apsaras do and the Gandharvas. Anyway, that's something for further research. Verse 19. My dear king, in his orbit through Bhumandala, the sun god traverses a distance of 95,100,000 yojanas at a speed of 2,000 yojanas and 2 kroshas in a moment. So the moment, one kshana, 8/5 of a second, that's what he travels. Chapter 22. We're going to hear some more details. 8/5.
Hmm?
9,447 miles per second. Okay.
What is the most immense understanding
of that? Kshana.
How fast the sun
moves? Here it says. I don't know what they say. I'm not acquainted. Do we have a scientist in the audience? How fast? Oh, the sun doesn't move. So therefore, how can they say what speed it moves at? They don't believe it moves. So there. Okay, let's get ready. We're going to chapter 22, verse 1. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami. So he was confused, as we are all confused. My dear Lord, you have already affirmed the truth. The supremely powerful sun god travels around Dvalloka with both Dvalloka and Mount Sumeru on his right. Yet at the same time, the sun god faces the signs of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dvalloka on his left. How can we reasonably accept the sun god proceeds with Sumeru and Dvalloka on both his left and right simultaneously? Sri Shukadev Goswami clearly answered, when a potter's wheel is moving and small ants located on that big wheel are moving with it, one can see their motion is different from that of the wheel because they appear sometimes on one part of the wheel and sometimes on another. Similarly, the signs and constellations with Sumeru and Dvalloka on their right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun and other planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in different signs and constellations at different times. This indicates their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself. So the zodiac is fixed on the wheel. The zodiac is moving with the wheel, but the sun and the planets are moving not with the wheel of time. They're not fixed on this particular wheel of time. They're moving through it like you have a clock, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you have the hands that are going. So the sun and the planets are like the hands on the clock, whereas the constellations are like the numbers on the clock of time. So, but actually they're both moving. It's different from our clock. That clock's also moving, and the hands are also moving. So it's more confusing. It's not exactly like this clock, because the clock is moving too, the wheel of time. Yeah, everything's moving. Everything's in motion. So they're trying to describe this here. Mount Sumeru. Yes, in Bhagavad Gita it says Mount Sumeru is movable, whereas the Himalayas aren't. Of course, Himalaya, they're both on Bhumandala, but Meru is movable. Yes. And just think, the sun's moving, Meru's moving. My God, how can you keep it straight? Yes, it's also a tree. He says the tree is moving too.
Yeah, but say in a tree then you have a fixed position of each branch and each root. Or is that tree moving also? Like?
It can be moving. It's fixed, but at the same time it's moving.
Like in the wind?
Yeah, in the wind. There's winds. It says the sun, it's yoked by a wind, a rope of wind.
So if you take the universe as a tree, you can take the trunk is fixed.
Yeah, something, the axle, the axis, there's the axis of the tree.
But that in itself moves.
Yeah,
moves.
Everything moves.
And the branches also.
Everything is moving, yeah. And they can be moving back and forth or like that. They have their own way of moving.
Because the tree moves in the wind.
Yeah, the tree can be, anyway, there's the wheel of time. Then there's a different movement of the planets and the sun, which is different from the wheel of time. So we have to understand what moves. Now we've got the constellations. They're moving with the wheel of time. It's like here we have a clock, and just imagine the clock is moving, but then the hands are also moving. Okay. And sometimes the hands go backwards on the universal clock too. They go retrograde. The planets go retrograde, right? They go, and they. It says, I'll read a little bit about that. Verse 3. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. When great saintly persons, fully aware of the Vedic knowledge, offered prayers to the Supreme Person, he descended to this material world in the form of the sun to benefit all the planets and to purify fruitive activities. He divided himself into 12 parts and created seasonal forms beginning with spring. In this way, he created the seasonal qualities such as heat, cold, and so on. So that's verse 3. Verse 4. According to the system of four varnas and four ashrams, people generally worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, who is situated as a sun god. So yesterday there was a question, is the sun god Narayan? And here it says, yes. With great faith, they worship the Supreme Personality as a super soul, according to ritualistic ceremonies handed down in the three Vedas, such as Agnihotra, and similar higher and lower fruitive acts, and according to the process of mystic yoga. In this way, they very easily attain the ultimate goal of life. Verse 5. The sun god, who is Narayana, or Vishnu, the soul of all the worlds, is situated in outer space between the upper and lower portions of the universe. So the sun is practically right in the middle of the universe. It's right in the middle. Then there's the upper, and then there's the lower part in outer space. Passing through 12 months on the wheel of time, the sun comes in touch with 12 different signs of the zodiac and assumes 12 different names according to those signs. The aggregate of those 12 months is called a samvatsara, or an entire year. According to lunar calculations, 2 fortnights, one of the waxing moon and the other of the waning, form 1 month. That same period is 1 day and night for the planet Pichiloka. So then, according to the moon, the waxing is a day for Pichi, and night is, the waning is night for Pichiloka. The same period is 1 day and night, right, for the planet Pichiloka. According to stellar calculations, a month equals 2 1/4 constellations. When the sun travels for 2 months, the season passes, and therefore the seasonal changes are considered parts of the body of the year. Verse 6, thus the time the sun takes to rotate through half of outer space is called an ayana, or its period of movement in the north or in the south. Verse 7, the sun god has three speeds, slow, fast, and moderate. The time he takes to travel entirely around the spheres of heaven, earth, and space at these three speeds is referred to by learned scholars by the five names Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Iravatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara. Now, I did some research on this, but first we'll read the purport. According to solar astronomical calculations, each year extends 6 days beyond the calendar year, and according to lunar calculations, so lunar means moon, solar means sun, so according to the moon, each year is 6 days shorter. Therefore, because of the movements of the sun and moon, there's a difference of 12 days between the solar and lunar years. And that's why our Vaishnava calendar, every year it's 12 days difference less. And until you get to Purushottama month and they add a whole month, then everything is a month later. Otherwise, it's 12 days earlier every month, our Vaishnava calendar. Because we're going according to this lunar year. As the Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara, and Vatsara pass by, two extra months are added within each 5 years. This makes a sixth Samvatsara, but because that Samvatsara is extra, the solar system is calculated according to the above five names. So I did research in Third Canto again, and I found these five names referring to different orbits of different planets. So this is 3, 11, 14. Samvatsara, I'll read the verse. Sambhatsara pari vatsara ida vatsara eva cha anu vatsara vatsarascha vidaraivam prapas iti. There are five different names for the orbits of the sun, moon, stars, and luminaries in the firmament. They each have their own sambhatsara. So sambhatsara is, according to that verse, the orbit of the sun. Pari vatsara is Brihaspati or Jupiter. Ida vatsara is the orbit of the stars, the 28 stars. Anuvatsara is orbit of the moon, and Vatsara is 1 year for us. So this is according to the third canto, 11th chapter, verse 14. Verse 8, above the rays of the sunshine by the distance of 100,000 yojanas is the moon, which travels at a speed faster than that of the sun. In two lunar fortnights, the moon travels to the equivalent of a samvatsara of a sun. In 2 1/4 days, it passes through a month of the sun, and in 1 day, it passes through a fortnight of the sun. So Prabhupada says here in the purport, when we take into account the moon is 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is a doubtful mystery. So here again, we heard about that last week. We saw the movies or 2 weeks ago. How about the moon and how they didn't go to the moon? So Prabhupada says at the end, whether the Vedic calculations or modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others, but as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. And so we already saw that. We don't need to discuss it today. Verse 9. When the moon is waxing, the illuminating portions of it increase daily, thus creating day for the demigods and night for the pitas. When the moon is waning, however, it causes night for the demigods and day for the pitas. In this way, the moon passes through each constellation of stars in 30 muhurtas, an entire day. The moon is a source of nectarian coolness that influences the growth of food grains, and therefore the moon god is considered the life of all living entities. He's consequently called Jiva, the chief living being within the universe. So the next verse I'll read some of it. Ya esha sori shakala purusha bhagavan manomaya namaya mita mayo dev pichi manusha bhuta pashupakshi sarisipa Virutam panapyayana shilatvat saramaya iti varayanti. Because the moon is full of all potentialities, it represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I won't read, but I'll ask you, why is the moon called Manomaya? Yes, the deity of the predominating deity of everyone's mind. Why is he Anamaya? Taste to the food, potency to herbs and plants. Amritamaya, source of life for everyone, all living entities. And Sarvamaya, pleasing to everyone. So Manomaya, Anamaya, because he gives potency to herbs and plants. Amritamaya, the source of life. He pleases the demigods, pitas, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, and all other living entities. Everyone is satisfied by the presence of the moon. Therefore, he's called Saramaya. Can flip the flip chart. I think something might be there on the other side. He's coming. Yeah, there we are. We've got the moon there. Okay, just leave it. Actually, you can write, after Mars, you can write Jupiter and Saturn. Jupiter and Saturn, because they should all, it's not in verse 14, but we should know Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So these are the qualities of the moon, also qualities of Pradyumna. So I'll just read one verse from Lord Shiva's prayers. This is 4:24:38. Nama urja ishe chaya pataye yakyare tase chittidaya chivanam nama sarvarasatmane. My Lord, you are the provider of Pichiloka as well as the demigods, predominating deity of the moon, master of the Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. So Lord Shiva is praying to Aniruddha to give him strength so he won't taste anything but Krishna Prasad, because the pleasing taste is coming from Aniruddha in his expansion as the moon god. So then, Triptidaya, he prays to Lord Aniruddha to help him be satisfied by eating only Prasad. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita about the moon. Does anybody know that verse? Another one. In chapter 15? Gama Visha? Yes. Gama Visha Chibhutani Tarayam Yahamojasa Krishnami Choshahi Sava Solo Bhuttarasatmaka. I enter into each planet. By my energy, they stay in orbit. I become the moon and supply the juice of life to all vegetables. 15:13 in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada says that the moon nourishes the vegetables and the vegetables become delicious, and without the moon the vegetables can neither grow or taste succulent. So it's due to the moon that we get this wonderful taste in the vegetables. Rasatmaka. So now we'll read verse 11. Above the moon are the stars, 28 stars. There are many stars located 200,000 yojanas above the moon. By the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are fixed to the wheel of time. So see, now these are different from the sun and moon and the other planets. They're fixed on the wheel of time, these stars. They're not free. Thus they rotate with Mount Sumeru on their right, their motion being different from that of the sun. There are 28 important stars headed by Abhijit. So the sun, the moon, they're going through these different stars. It's like measurements again. The stars, nakshatras, they're measuring time of the moon, the moon's orbit. So they're fixed on the wheel of time. So therefore, they're rotating a different way than the orbits of the sun and moon. Verse 12. Some 1,600,000 miles above this group of stars is the planet Venus, which moves at almost exactly the same pace as the sun according to swift, slow, and moderate movements. Sometimes Venus moves behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, sometimes along with it. Venus nullifies the influence of planets that are obstacles to rainfall. Consequently, its presence causes rainfall. It is therefore considered very favorable for all living beings within this universe. This has been accepted by learned scholars. So Venus is favorable. Mercury is described to be similar to Venus in that it moves sometimes behind the sun, sometimes in front of the sun, and sometimes along with it. It is 1,600,000 miles above Venus, or 7,200,000 miles above Earth. So one thing I notice, all these planets, they're the same distance from each other, 1,600,000 miles. There's Venus, Mercury, then Mars, Jupiter, they're all like 1,600,000 miles from each other. They're equal distance. Mercury, which is the sun of the moon, his name is Buddha, is almost always very auspicious for the inhabitants of the universe. But when it does not move along with the sun, it forebodes cyclones, dust, irregular rainfall, and waterless clouds. In this way, it creates fearful conditions due to inadequate or excessive rainfall. Verse 14. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mercury, 8,800,000 miles above Earth, is a planet, Mars. If this planet does not travel in a crooked way, it crosses through each sign of the zodiac in 3 fortnights, and in this way travels through all 12, one after another. It almost always creates unfavorable conditions in respect to rainfall and other influences. So how is Mars inauspicious? Astrologers? Huh?
Yeah.
They want to go to Mars. Does that make it inauspicious? No, yes. It's good for? Good for spiritual life. Because it takes away your material. Okay? Yes? Ready, Bruce?
These descriptions here are more geared towards the kings.
Kings.
And what is said to be auspicious and inauspicious doesn't refer to a personal chart.
Okay, this auspicious and inauspicious does not refer to a personal chart. Here we have an astrologer speaking. It refers to kings.
To the country.
To the country. Okay. Okay, so there's a branch of astrology which deals with what is happening in a country or the world. Yes?
One of the symptoms is enmity.
Enmity, a symptom of the inauspicious nature of Mars. Okay, yes? Big ego, kings. Okay.
God of war,
Mars? Kartikeya, Skanda. So actually, I have some references from Bhagavatam that when, this is from 3rd Canto, 17th chapter, around verse 14, and also, verse 14 is the main one, that when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born, there were many natural disturbances in heavenly planets, earthly planets, and in between. This is verse 3:17:3. Earthquakes, fire, Saturn, inauspicious planets like Saturn appeared, along with comets, meteors, and thunderbolts. And then verse 14, ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones like Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, and as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. So this was on the birth of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So it's according to the modes of nature. Prabhupada says, then Saturn and Mars are considered impious according to the modes, the three modes of nature. So this is according to, so we have astrology also. You may have your chart, you may have, your Mars may be good for you, or Saturn may be good for you. Seems like for me, the inauspicious planets are good, and also the auspicious, some of them. But anyway, yeah, it's according to your, there's so many things to consider. And when you do your chart. So verses 15 and 16. Situated 1,600,000 miles above Mars, 10,400,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Jupiter, which travels through one sign of the zodiac within the period of a Parivatsara. If its movement is not curved, the planet Jupiter is very favorable to the brahmanas of the universe. Yeah, so there's different references, inauspicious to rainfall and things like this. Here it's for the brahmanas, Jupiter is very favorable, if it's not curved. Okay, verse 16, situated 1,600,000 miles above Jupiter, 12 million miles above Earth, is the planet Saturn, which passes through one sign of the zodiac in 30 months and covers the entire zodiac circle in 30 anuvatsaras. This planet is always very inauspicious for the universal situation. So here at this point, I would just like to show you one chart which I copied from Sariputta's video. Which I found interesting is how the orbits of the planets Saturn, Jupiter, is the orbit of Saturn, Jupiter, and then the inner planets, they correspond to the dimensions of Bhuloka, Bhumandala. Here we have Lokaloka Mountain, and then there's the inner planets here, which correspond to the orbits of the inner planets, the inner islands. These are the inner islands, and these are the inner planets. This one is Saturn on around here. This is Jupiter. Oh, no, that shouldn't be red. No, it's the orbit very much corresponds with it according to dimensions, according to the calculations, and according to the dimensions of the Bhumandala, Jambudvip, seven islands. Yes. No, it's maybe in there somewhere. I don't know which one. It's one of these inner ones here, and it's one of the inner. Yeah.
That's why we think the moon
compared to the other planets.
Moon seems to be close to us.
Yeah, it's compared to the other planets, it has not such a big
the sun
one.
Has the biggest orbit.
No. Not the sun. Saturn. Saturn has the biggest orbit. Yeah. Saturn.
It's going up beyond local Russia.
No, not beyond, just on the border. On the border. No, it's on Manasotra. Yeah, Lokaloka is way out there. Yeah, that's much further.
What's Jupiter?
Jupiter is here. Here's Jupiter. No, they say Saturn's further. Yeah, they agree actually with the Bhagavatam. Yeah, that goes farther, even further. Yeah. No, but beyond Antariksha is just in the middle. Yeah, uninhabited. Yeah, out there somewhere. Yeah, way out there. Alokavarsha, and Lokavarsha. So the last verse, situated 8,800,000 miles above Saturn, 20,800,000 miles above Earth. Are these seven saintly sages who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. They circumambulate the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, known as Jivaloka, the pole star. So, here it's talk about the seven sages. Anybody know the names of the seven sages presently? No, not Marichi. Vashishta, yeah? Vishwamitra, Vashishta. Atri, no, not Ashwat. He will be next time. Gautam, we've got Atri, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Kashyap, Jamadagni, and Bhardwaj. Ashwatthama will be next time. He's not one now. He will be. He will be in the next, Ashwatthama will be. I don't know about Vyasadeva. Did I tell you that? I have to look it up. Okay, I have to look it up. So many stars are on the edge, yeah. I don't know. They're not described here. They're not described. Yeah. No, they're just at Jivaloka, not at the edge. This is going a different way. It's not going the same way as Bhumandala. It's going up. We're going vertically now. Today's class is vertical. Yesterday's was horizontal. Now we're going up, vertical dimension. So, Saptarishi, yeah, I'll give you the reference. The reference is 8:13 summary. That's where I got it from. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they go up a certain distance. But here, the vertical dimension is being described here in Bhagavatam, how they're going up.
That's why we this the difference between the moon closer or the sun closer.
Yes.
What's with that? Because the sun's orbit is very, very far away.
Yeah, the sun's orbit.
You may be closer to the sun's orbit.
Now that's what Sariputta brings up, and you can read his book and you can find he discusses that point, how it may sometimes even seem closer, but actually it's further away. Yeah, it's close. It's closer than all the other planets. It's closer than all the other planets. So I'd just like to read something here which explains how the universe is a macrocosm and our body is a microcosm of the same universe. And this is, we discussed this a little bit when we discussed Vastu. Srila Prabhupada also says this, that whatever we find in the universal form is big and our body is small. It's just a replica, but in a small size. So this reference in Garuda Purana explains this point. Says the features of the universe are present in the human body. The planets, mountains, seas, sun, and moon are all present in the body. Now, this is a little different here. Atala on the soles of the feet, Vitala on top of the feet, Sutala on the knees, Talatala on the calves, Vasatala on the thighs. So they've got them upside down here. So Bhuloka planetary system is situated in the navel, that we agree. Bhuvarloka is situated above the navel. Swargaloka is situated in the heart. Maharloka in the throat. Janaloka in the mouth. Tapaloka on the forehead. Satyaloka in the head. These are the 14 planetary systems. Mount Meru is situated on the shoulder blades. Mount Mandara is situated on the hips. And Mount Kailash is on the right side of the ribs. Himalayas are on the left side of the ribs. Jambudvip is in the bones. Shakadvip is in the marrow. Kushadvip is in the flesh. Krungshadvip is in the head. Shamalidvip is in the skin. Plakshadvip is in the hair. And Pushkaradvip is in the nails and oceans. Salt ocean is situated in urine. Milk ocean is in milky secretions of the body. Ocean of liquor is in mucus. Ocean of ghee is in the bone marrow. Ocean of yogurt is in the blood. The sweet water ocean is in stool, and the ocean of sugarcane juice is in semen. So this is how Garuda Purana explains how our body is related to the universal body. So yesterday the question was there, you know, what is the source of the milk ocean? What is the source of these different oceans? Is it from the rivers that flow down from these different trees? But actually the real source is in the universal form of the Lord. If you want to find out where is the milk coming from, it's coming from the milk in the universal form of the Lord. Where is the salt? And Prabhupada directly said that the ocean of salt is the urine of the universal form of the Lord. It's compared to the urine. He said that in different conversations, once or twice at least. At this salt ocean, he did say that. So this is Garuda Purana. This is not quoted. This was something that my ex-husband was working on just recently. He did it for Alok. He did this book. It's got many more things. It's about 100 pages, but this is just one little half of a page in that book, or maybe one page in that book. The book has reminded me a lot of Hitopadesh. It had a lot of things, similarities to Hitopadesh, and different things like that. And it has stories also. So then next we can look here at the universal form of the Lord. We have Vishnu here. Patala is the soles of his feet. Rasatala, Mahatala, all the talas, they are his legs. Then Bhumandala is his navel. Bhuvar is just above. Swargaloka is his heart. Maharloka is his neck. Janaloka, his mouth. Tapaloka, between his eyes and forehead, and Satyaloka is his top of his head. So there is an axis of the universe which the yogis travel up. It's called the axis of chakras, the six chakras. There are seven chakras. So the chakras which are within our body correspond to different of these planets. You can see it here in this picture here. The yogi is meditating. And at the bottom, there is Bhumandala, or Bhuloka, and then Bhuvar, and then Swar. And we did it same here as the planet, so you could see how they correspond. Swarloka is Manipura Chakra, which is above the navel. Then the Maharloka is Anahata Chakra, in the heart. Then the next loka, Janaloka Vishuddha Chakra, in the neck. Tapaloka Agya Chakra in the forehead between the eyes, and Satyaloka is on the top of the head, where is Lord Brahma. And that's how the yogis, they bring the life here up the chakras, and they go out through the top of the head, and that's Satyaloka. They go out through the top of the universe. Yes. They end up, yeah, they end up somewhere else. Yeah, then you'll end up on one of those planets. You'll end up there.
So that's irrelevant, really, in the sense that the elevation within one's own body is...
Yes, so, and if you... I know of a case of a devotee. Before they became a devotee, they actually were doing this practice. They told me what happened. They were ready. They were bringing the life air up, and they were ready to... They were, like, at the forehead. But the people watching them in their... The other... People in their ashram didn't want them to leave their body, so they stopped them. When they got to the forehead, they stopped this person. And as a result, when it exploded, exploded in the head, and the person got a brain tumor, and they stopped it right here. But in one sense, it was good, because then they became a devotee. Then the guru said to this person, "You can't do yoga. You have to do bhakti. You're not fit for yoga anymore. You cannot think anymore since you got the brain tumor." So anyway, in one sense, it was good that they didn't go out. Would have ended up in the Brahman or something. So, but these people are still doing this nowadays, and it's kind of dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. So the lower worlds, so we have here the upper worlds corresponding to the different chakras. The lower worlds correspond to the legs. They don't play a role in this analogy. But they say the Ananta Shesh corresponds to Kundalini. This may be different, I think, from what Prabhupada says. I don't remember what he says. I didn't give that class. So there's a way that the yogis, when they meditate, they meditate how their spine is corresponding to the cosmic axis or Merudanda. And so their body becomes a microcosm that fuses with a macrocosm. So Dhruva Maharaj, he did that. Dhruva Maharaj, he was able to fuse with the whole universe. So then your spine becomes Meru, according to this meditation of the yogis. They meditate that their spine is Meru, and they're going up Mount Meru. And they go up the different chakras. And in Sanskrit, yogic text, the spine is called Merudanda. Merudanda. The rod of Meru. Yes. Yes. They meditate on the universal form, these sages. Right. Lord has no material form, but...
The material universe is not the Lord's body, but
yes.
it's a way of looking at it.
But it also says other places that the universe of form is an expansion from Kshirdakshaya Vishnu or Gavadakshaya Vishnu. It's an expansion. It exists in some form.
But the way of meditating and seeing the rivers as the veins of the
yeah. Right,
concept.
Right.
So I wonder if this also Satyaloka Taploka, is that an imaginary concept?
No, it's not. The lokas are not imaginary. But what is imaginary is the fact that you're thinking that the Lord's body is this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the imaginary part.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But Satyaloka exists. Yeah, Satyaloka exists.
But you see the link between the Lord's...
But it's good to see the link.
Yeah, it's good. It's a link.
Yes. But in one sense, there is a connection. In one sense, there is a connection. But it's not that the Lord has a material body. But there is a connection, because the source of the different things is the Lord. And that is the basis of the Purusha Shukta, that there is a form of the Lord, and they do a sacrifice of this form, and they get different ingredients. So it does exist in one sense. No, that's a fact. It's a fact that everything is coming from Krishna. It's a fact that everything is... And it does say right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, I think even in the first purport of the first verse, that the universal form is the body, the material body of the Lord. So it does exist in some sense. But if you look at it from the perspective of eternity, it doesn't exist. If you look at a different perspective, it doesn't. We have to understand how everything is coming from his body. And Prabhupada did say, yes, that the salt ocean is his urine, yes. Yeah, external manifestation. And there's another connection here which I found. Yes? External manifestation, she said. Is this an external manifestation?
It's actually
both.
Coming from the rise, you just call it, right?
Well, there's different. There's subtle and there's gross. So the devotees, they go beyond the subtle and the gross. So we see the spiritual form of the Lord. But for those who are not so advanced, there is a material form which they can meditate on and see at the source. And there is a higher than that, there is a subtle form. Avyaktamurtina, yes, Avyaktamurtina. Yes. There is gross. Gross and subtle. Yes, we have gross and subtle. That's how we see. It's ultimately, right. It's often compared to the arch of Vigraha also, that the universal form, like it's material, but it's not material. In that sense, you can also understand it. The arch of Vigraha is the form of the Lord. It's material, made of material elements, but it's not material. So the universal form is made of material elements, but it's not material. Yes. Prabhu, Damana, Krishna.
Do the qualities of the Lord enter into the...
The what?
Do the qualities of the Lord.
The qualities.
Like intelligence, it's like...
Yes.
The
yeah. Right. Yes, that description we heard in third canto, intelligence, mind. There's four subtle things in the universal form in the heart region. It's in mind, intelligence, false ego, and consciousness. Four things in the area of the heart. That is described in Kapila Dev's teachings. So then one more connection I have here for you, and that is between Gayatri Mantra and the seven chakras. And this is from the book by Sachinandan Swami on Gayatri. That Bhur, of course, we know Bhur, Bhuvaraswar, we know that, those who have Gayatri. Savitar is the Anahata chakra in the heart, Maharloka. Savitar is with Maharloka here. Varenyam is with Janaloka. And Bhargo Deva Siddhima, he is with Tapaloka. And the end, Yo Na Prachodayat, is with Satyaloka. So there's, when you chant your Gayatri, you're actually going up the lokas, the first Gayatri. You're going up the different Bhur, Bhuvaraswar, all the way up to Satya. So if you try meditating on your first Gayatri, and that way you'll get quite interesting experience. This is page 150 in the Gayatri book. Yeah. Yes. It is Virat Purush. No, it's not. It's form, Purush.
It's not a personal presence there. Just
right.
Impersonal. Even Virat Purush is not personal.
No, but Prabhupada said it is form. It is form. Form, Rupa. Virat Purush means person, means form. Okay? So I have a few more things here. If Prabhupada has from Easy Journey to Other Planets, how the yogis. Here he calls the soul the anti-material particle within the material body. Prabhupada says they can give up their material bodies and enter the anti-material worlds through a specific thoroughfare which connects the material and anti-material worlds. So there's a road, Prabhupada says, that connects the material and spiritual worlds. And the yogis, they go up this road. And we see the road right here. It's up through the different chakras. This is from Easy Journey to Other Planets. which Prabhupada wrote in 1957. And Prabhupada said the different deities or directing officers are appointed to act in the administration, the demigods. Foolish people who are unable to see the intricacies of cosmic management laugh at the idea of personal management of fire, air, electricity, days, nights. But the perfect yogis know how to satisfy these unseen administrators of material affairs, taking advantage of the goodwill of these administrators, leave their material bodies at will during opportune moments, arrange for entrance into the anti-material universe or higher planets of material sky. So they please these different demigods, these yogis. It's not they're just flipping the chakras. Prabhupada says they're also pleasing the different demigods while they're going up. They know how, Prabhupada says, they know how to please them. In the higher planets, the yogis can enjoy more comfortable and pleasant lives, but this is not eternal. So then he says they can go beyond. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. And then in the second canto, we have the yogic highway, the path the yogis travel. This is second canto, second chapter, verses 23 to 28. I'll just read a few excerpts from that. Transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruitive workers or gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. So the yogis, they go, Prabhupada says, in these higher planets, Jana, Tapa, Mahar, and Satya, they go there. And the karmis, they can move in Swargaloka. Then the path is described in verse 24. When a mystic passes over the Milky Way by illuminating Susumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, first he goes to Vaishvanara, planet of fire, deity of fire, where he's completely cleansed of all contamination. Then he goes to the circle of Sishumara to relate with Lord Hari. So today you'll be hearing about Sishumara Chakra from Burijan Prabhu. The polar star of the universe, and the circle is called Sishumara Circle, and there is a local residential planet of Shirdakshai Vishnu. So this is the path of the yogi going out of this universe. So Prabhupada said, the Shishumara is a pivot for turning of the complete universe. So the universe is moving. The universe is turning. And the axis is the Shishumara Chakra. It is called the navel of Vishnu, Shishumara Chakra. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Shishumara, attains the planet Maharloka. And then from Maharloka, when there's a devastation, the yogi takes the airplanes for Satyaloka. So they go up like this. It's a gradual process. But then Prabhupada says, he says the extent of the universe is 4 billion miles, then the coverings begin, and the first covering is 80 million miles, and then each one is 10 times more. And Prabhupada says the fearless devotee penetrates each one of them, these layers, and ultimately reaches the absolute atmosphere of Vaikuntha. So this is the devotee of the Lord. So one last thing I want to read to you, and this is something quite different from what we've been hearing. We've been hearing about the material universe, which is the upside-down tree. So now in this book, this is Navadvipa Mahatmya, there is a description of the real tree, which is very similar to our material tree, because this is the real thing, and we've been hearing about the perverted reflection. So this is from Navadvipa Mahatmya, Pramana Kanda, Chapter 1. Chandogya Upanishad describes a wonderful city called Brahmapur in the shape of eight-petaled lotus. The center of that lotus is Mayapur, the abode of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya as Paramatma. The sky within that lotus, or Antarakash, is known as Antardweep. Within Brahmapur is a lotus-shaped dahara, the heart. In the center of the heart is Antarakash, the interior sky. One should seek out and realize what is within that Antarakash. So we have, here's describing within our body, there is a spiritual place, and it's located in the heart. It's also called Brahmapur, just like this monk Meru is called Brahmapuri. We also have a Brahmapur that is spiritual in our heart. It's eight-petaled, shape of eight-petaled lotus. And there is an Antariksha, or they call it Antarakash, or outer space in there. The student may ask, if in Brahmapur is a lotus-shaped heart, And within that exists the Antarakash. So what exists there that should be sought out and known? Then the guru will reply, just as there is a sky in this external world, there is a similar sky in the midst of the heart. In that sky, so we have here in the Antariksha, we have the sun, we have all the planets. So in this sky, there is heaven and earth, fire and air, sun and moon, lightning and stars. Whatever is in this external world, and even what is lacking here, is existent in that internal place. Then the students may ask, in this Brahmapur within the body, if all elements, living beings, and desires are present, what remains when the body grows old and dies? The guru will answer, when the body grows old, the elements of Brahmapur do not grow old. When the body perishes at death, those elements do not perish. This real Brahmapur is indestructible, is the abode of complete satisfaction. The Atma, Supersoul, is devoid of sin, old age, death, lamentation, hunger, and thirst. His desires are pure, Satyakama. He attains fulfillment of his desires immediately and without obstacle, Satya Sankalpa. So then it says, but people in this world who desire various objects, some country or even a little piece of land for gratification of bodily pleasure, develop attachment and fall under the control of those objects, like citizens who are bound to follow the laws of the state. Whatever one earns by work on this earth is exhausted by its enjoyment. Whatever one earns by pious activities, such as sacrifice, is exhausted by heavenly enjoyment. In this manner, those who pass from this world without seeking out and obtaining knowledge and realization of Supersoul do not attain complete satisfaction of their desires, wherever they may go. But those who pass from this world having sought out and obtained knowledge and realization of Supersoul, the All-Blissful Lord, attain complete satisfaction wherever they may go. So then there's a lot of description here about if you want to have a relationship with fatherly personalities, your fathers are present, and with you, the fathers you enjoy serving the Lord. That's Vatsalya Ras, and it goes on through all the rasas. And finally, whatever he desires, by his very desire, it is present, and with it he blissfully serves the Lord. These eternal enjoyments and desires are covered by ignorance in this world. Though they are real, there is a covering of ignorance. Thus in this world, we can never again see those to whom we are attached after they depart from this world. But if a person achieves Brahmapur, he meets all his friends and relatives, both living and dead, and he gets everything he desired but could not attain. But in this conditional world, all is covered by ignorance. Just as people ignorant of a hidden treasure of gold beneath their feet walk over it constantly but cannot enjoy it, so the living entities who are covered by ignorance contact Brahmaloka every day, even in this world, but they do not know it and therefore cannot enjoy its eternal spiritual bliss. So, this is chapter 1, Pramanakanda. It's about near the end of the book. This Pramana means evidence. Pramana, what does it mean first? I don't know. I thought Pramana is evidence, right? Pramanakanda, chapter 1, right at the beginning. There's a whole description of Nabadweep Parikrama, and then it comes to this part here, and it's describing the universe in our, actually the spiritual universe, that we should... It's in 12th canto. Yeah, so we heard about the other Brahmapur, and now we hear about the real one, which is the spiritual world. Okay, any questions? Any more questions? Yes, Mahavan Puri. So the days are longer. Oh, it doesn't. It says it moves slower in the day. No, but if you read the English, it says until the sun travels to. Yeah, it's kind of hard to understand. Even if you look at the English, until the sun travels to the south, and until it travels to the north. Yeah, it does seem like a contradiction, which I cannot solve or resolve. Yes. Any other questions, Sharanya? South of Manasatara Mountain. No, below Bhumandala. Below Bhumandala is no sunshine. Under, see, you look at this here. See the lotus? That's Bhumandala. Manasotara is up there, or going around in there somewhere. But south would still be up there. But if you go below, you have to go underneath, not south. There's four directions or eight directions, and then there's up and down. So it's not south, it's down. It's down. Or it's the universal south, you could say. Yes.
So there's planets above
there. Right.
Are they just reliant
on the? No, they're self-illuminated. Self-illuminated. By their austerities and penances. And, yeah. Self-illuminated. Yes, they, I would. Yes. It's my understanding is that they are self-illuminated. Yes. Yeah, there's that one verse which Sataputta uses. Yeah, it's in there.
So am I correct that we haven't heard of, but there are many other planets along this?
Yeah, there's all the islands.
The islands
of Jambudvipa.
They're equivalent to what we call an Earth, each island.
They're bigger.
So there's seven.
We're part of that.
This Earth is one island.
Well, yeah, we're in the middle. We're the middle, part of the middle island, Jambudvipa.
Probably six other spherical things.
It's hard to. I mean, there's different conceptions, shall we say. But. According to Bhagavatam, then they're each surrounding each other like that. And we're in the middle. We're right in the middle of it, and then surrounding us, there's a salt ocean, then there's another island, another ocean, another island, another ocean, another island. That's the seven islands. Jambudvipa is in the middle, and we're 1/9. It's a big island, and we're just a small part of that island, one of the Varshas. The bottom. We're the smallest. Jambudvipa. No, yes.
Prabhupada uses the word earth in a spectral way.
Yeah, he does. Even the whole Bhumandala could be earth. Even Jambudvipa could be earth. Even Bhardvarsh could be earth. Yeah, sometimes the earth is Bhardvarsh, sometimes it's Jambudvipa, sometimes it's whole Bhumandala is earth. Yeah, another dweep and another ocean, another dweep, another ocean, and. Yes, Nishinga? Yeah. Right, they're worshipping different demigods. Yeah. They're all worshipping forms of Vishnu. Hayagriva, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, and Nishingadev, Nishingadev, Narayana Rishi. They're worshipping different. Yes, Prabhu?
You say that they are surrounding by soul.
Yes. 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 The question was, when you say we're surrounded by an ocean of salt water, is it the one that we see with our very eyes? Yes. It's the same salt ocean that we see with our eyes. It's part of the Jambudvipa ocean.
So we cannot see all the ocean, we just see the part.
Of course not. We cannot see. We can't even see the whole ocean between our lands. We only see the part. So yeah, it's a part of the whole, of the bigger picture. Yes. There's an island and then there's an ocean. Yeah, there's ocean surrounding the island, there's an ocean. One water, right.
Because it's a salt water. One side is salt water, the other side is, the next one is circular.
It's concentrated.
I don't think I understand your question.
You have circles like that.
Yeah, so many circles. So one is Jambudvipa. Salt circle.
And the next island.
Yeah, right.
So one side is salt water.
Plakshadweep. Yeah, right, you're right.
Every second,
Oh, okay, I got you now. So on one side of Plakshadweep there is the salt, and the other side is the whatever it is.
Liquor?
Liquor ocean.
Nice
variety. We only have one because we're in the middle. We're in the middle.
In the middle is
Meru Mountain. Which we cannot see.
So we can see ocean, or
we
can't see
Meru. No, we can't see Meru.
Why?
Because you are not qualified to see Meru Mountain. That's why.
Is it golden?
Golden, yes. Gold, made of gold. Okay, first Madhavendra, then Nishinga. Billions of stars and planets.
But the way we hear it now, it's like...
There's only... Doesn't seem like that many. We're just hearing the chief. We're hearing the main things. If there's 33 million demigods, then you know there must be more places to live. There must be. There are many. Of course, there's the Milky Way. That's billions, right there.
Billions of
airplanes. Billions of airplanes, which look like little stars.
So what we see in the firmament is basically up to Juvaloka.
Up to Juvaloka.
Only right there is quite a few.
So much is there, yeah.
Quite a few thousand.
Yeah, so not everything is identified. The major landmarks.
Yes.
We're seeing the major things, the major planets, the landmarks. Not all the 33 million demigods. Okay, Nrisimha's next, and then Bhagavat.
Oh.
It says Narayana Rishi is worshipped in Bhardwaj by Narada Muni up in Bhadrikasha. That's the main deity of for Bhardwaj. Yes, he is the Supreme Lord. Narayana Rishi is a plenary expansion of the Lord, incarnation. What about Krishna? That's very confidential. Yes, it's not mentioned, no. Because it's rahasya. Krishna worship is very confidential, and not everybody knows about it, so therefore it is not mentioned. Of course, it will be mentioned in its place in the 10th canto, the smiling face. We can't see Krishna again until we get to the smiling face of Bhagavatam. Now we just hear about the incarnations. Who is next, Bhagavat? Do you have? No, Sankirtan. You have seven more layers in the shell, right?
Earth,
water, fire. Right.
10
times. Yes.
So the
4 billion.
Like that,
yeah.
Then all the
shells added
up.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much bigger. Yeah, we can't imagine. We can't draw it to scale.
Our position is
very,
very, very tiny.
Very tiny. As Burijan, I'm sure, will emphasize that aspect of. Yeah. Yes.
Where is it said that Meru is not visible?
Where is it said that Meru is not visible? I don't know. Yes. Does anybody know? Where is Meru not visible? It's not visible to us.
But it's so difficult.
Yeah. It doesn't say, but if it's... just imagine how far away it is. Is it? You think you can see it? You think you'd be able to see it from here? How many millions of yojanas? Or how, I don't know, thousands of yojanas? Prabhupada did say sometimes, he said, there is a golden mountain in the Himalayas, so adventurers can go and look for it. He said that about Meru.
Professional here?
Yes, professional.
But
Srila Prabhupada says in answer to that, the idea of that they have satellites and all that, is that they're restricted within a certain limit. They can't go beyond a certain limit. The satellites and all that. So therefore, they cannot see everything. There's a limit. So this Meru Mountain, Ilavrita, is beyond the limit of where the satellites can go. It's beyond the limit. Yes?
Where is exactly the
center
of the universe?
Center of the universe is the sun.
Now,
it says here in this, we read today, that the sun is in the center. It's called Martanda because it divides bottom and the lower parts of the universe. Sun is in the center. Martanda, that's why it has the name Martanda. It divides. And it's described, remember, just like a seed. And you open it up, and then there's Antariksha in the middle. In that little space, there's a sun, and the sun is right in the center of the universe. It divides it. Yeah. Yeah, so it's got a little bit of area to move, of course. But it's not like a point. It's not a point, but it's bigger than a point.
So how do we understand,
axle? Well, that's the axle. That's the axis, the navel of Vishnu. See, if you look at this here. Yeah, Meru corresponds to the axis. You see here on this mobile, there's a green, see that green string? It's going down from Mahavishnu's navel, and it goes all the way up through everything and up to Lord Brahma, Satyaloka. So this runs all the way through. So this the yogis, they go up this.
How do we see that now in Allahabad?
You cannot see it.
But in Allahabad, that's the center.
Yes, everybody wants to be center. Everybody would like to be in the center. But actually, according to Bhagavatam, Naimisharanya is in the center of the axle of the navel of the universe. And here we also read today Shishumara. The second canto is also part of that.
Well, in one sense, we can say if you look at the pole, it's not basically no distance between Naimisharanya and
Allah. Yeah, it could also be center. And also, Radha Damodar is the center of the spiritual navel. We have here, right in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple is the center of the spiritual universe. The center, Radha Damodar Temple. Mayapur, yeah, I'm sure there's... Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. So wherever Radha Damodar is in Mayapur, that's where the center is. Yes, Seva Kunj. Adi Purush? Which is what? Okay. First I'll answer the last question. Haribol Paramakarna, yeah.
Prabhupada said the DBT, that Bhagavatam is written as the sun.
Yes.
And the DBT is the storehouse of these things, so Prabhupada said this was the center of the universe.
Okay, Bhagavatam is the center of the universe, so right now we're in the center of the universe.
BBT.
BBT is the center. Bhagavatam, any more questions? Yes? No, it connects to Satyaloka. The navel, yeah, up to the... You see the picture of Mahavishnu there? And then whenever you... not Mahavishnu, it's Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And then when you see the picture of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, I don't know, where did that... Oh, it's over here. Garbhodakshay Vishnu, there should be Brahma, Lord Brahma. There's a lotus navel. See, it's the stem's going up. It's the same there. There's a stem going up to Satyaloka. You can see it here too. It's going up through all the planetary systems up to Satyaloka in this poster. So that's where the lotus is. Yeah. Well, what I read from here is that there is a Brahmapuri. Brahmapuri, spiritual one, and we heard about a material one in the 16th chapter. So there's a different one, Brahmapuri. But it's not the abode of Lord Brahma. It's Brahman. Okay. Yes, last question.
If everybody has a different mental system.
What is the purpose to understand all the different systems and conceptions? Right. Well, if you're going to teach it, you have to know all the systems. You're going to teach, a lot of people in this class are teachers. So if you're going to teach it, you have to know all the angles as much as possible so you'll be able to understand and explain, just like it says... In the beginning of Bhagavatam, you should know the six darshans. So this is like, you should know all the aspects of fifth canto. That's why we brought in both Sadaputta and Dhanavira Maharaj. So you understand what's going on in ISKCON, you know, different conceptions of the universe, how devotees see things, and also here, like the different conceptions. Of course, Bhagavatam is the highest conception. It's Amala Purana. It is the highest conception. Aishwarya Gyan breeds Dasya Bhakti. Okay. It will help us to develop a service attitude towards Krishna when we hear all these things and how wonderful Krishna is. Look what he's doing. Yes, Aham Sarasya Prabhavo. 10:8. Yes. But it's Aham Sarasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvam Pravartate. Okay, I'll read it. Okay, two more questions, and then we're going to read something for Adi Purush. Yes? Okay. Oh, is this Sadaputta's book? 3B1 of Vedic Cosmography, Sadaputta's book. About... There's a section on center of the universe. Yeah, I kind of vaguely remember it. I read the book in a few hours. Okay, Naimisharanya is center of one. Next, last question, yes? Right, so the example, if you understand the greatness, then you can relish the sweetness of Krishna. Example given of the illiterate Brahmin who is seeing Krishna as the chariot driver If he didn't know Krishna was so great, then he wouldn't be crying to see how the Supreme Lord is driving the chariot of his devotee. Okay, so the last thing we're going to do is reread the Garuda Purana quote for Adi Purush Prabhu. The various features of the universe are present in the human body. The planets, mountains, sea, sun, and moon are all present in the body. Now, this next part is like contradictory. It may be a mistake here. It says, Atala is on the soles of feet, Vitala the top of the feet, Sutala on the knees, Talatala calves. So it kind of like, it seems wrong. When Patala on the hips, it's got the opposite. Bhuloka, planetary system, is situated in the navel. Bhuvarloka, above the navel. Swargaloka, in the heart. Maharloka, throat. Janaloka, mouth. Tapaloka, forehead. Satyaloka, in the head. These are the 14 planetary systems. Mount Meru is situated on the shoulder blades. Mount Mandara, on the hips. Mount Kailash, the right side of the ribs. Himalayas, left side of the ribs. Jambudweep, in the bones. Shakadweep, the marrow. Kushadweep, flesh. Kraunchadweep, head. Shamalidweep, skin. Plakshadweep, hair. Pushkaradweep, nails and oceans. Salt ocean, in the urine. Milk ocean, in the milky secretions of the body. Liquor is in mucus. Ghee, in the bone marrow. Yogurt is in the blood. Sweet water, in stool. And sugarcane, in the semen. That's from Garuda Purana. Okay, so we'll stop here today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.